This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab, or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. Joy.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. But don't expect us to be nice or politically correct. Nothing is sacred, and the team will be finding the queer and profane wherever we can on Joy 94.9. Is Nothing Sacred?
Hi there, Joysters. This is Jim, and you are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and I'm in the studio tonight, as usual, with James on the panel. Hello, James.
Hello, Jim.
And with Steph, who's
Hello.
About to rush out to answer a phone call for our important guest tonight. But, James, this is going to be real community radio tonight because there are a few panel issues, we understand.
No, it's all flawless here.
And so
slick and professional.
It will be slick and professional. You just wait and see. But we shall see. There might be a bit of paper rustling and door banging in a minute when
Jim, trust me, I've got it under control.
Oh, good. I'm very pleased to hear that. So thanks to Leo, Stephanie and Brian for the Sound Museum, all that schmaltzy post-Valentine's Day
music. You just don't like mush.
I don't like mush much. Much mush.
Much mush.
But anyway, I think that's our phone call coming in.
It is.
We are having on the program tonight Martin Foley, the Minister for Equality in the Victorian Andrews Labor government.
We're very lucky to have a minister on the show.
It's the first time we've had a minister on the show, and Martin is the state member for Albert Park. He's the Minister for Housing, Disability, Ageing, Mental Health, Creative Industries, and relevant for tonight, for equality. He's the first minister in Australia for equality. We'll ask him about that later.
Absolutely.
When he comes on. Good evening, Martin. Are you there? Can you hear us?
I am here, Jim. Good evening to you.
How are you?
I'm extremely well, and how are you and your other...
Well, we're all still alive. I suppose that is better than the alternative.
So there's three of us in...
All this living.
There's three of us in the studio, so you don't get confused. There's me, who's Steph, there's James and Jim.
So...
Steph, James and Jim.
Yep.
Hello.
So we're just going to ask you a few questions about your equality portfolio. We note that you're also the Minister for Housing, Disability, Ageing, Mental Health, Creative Industries, which is the politically correct way of saying the arts, isn't it?
No.
Does that mean more than the arts?
It brings together all of the aspects of what was, once upon a time, Arts Victoria, Film Victoria, design, in an attempt to try to argue that creativity, which is at the heart of all of those, flows across in kind of increasingly multi-platform ways these days.
Sounds like it.
And that government structures need to catch up with where reality is.
Sounds like innovation to me, in the real sense of innovation, as opposed to sort of most of the nonsense that we hear. Well,
exactly.
What we want to do is to concentrate on the equality portfolio to start off with, and so... Perhaps you'd might like to tell us what some of your main achievements have been so far, because I think there have been quite a few. There's been a bit of a cracking pace set in reform, inequality.
Well, look I'd like to think the main thing we've done is change the frame of the government and public debates about where LGBTI rights issues sit in Victoria. And the fact that there is a dedicated ally, minister sitting at the cabinet table, whose job it is to cast a critical eye over everything goes past with what is the LGBTI rights frame to whatever the issue is, with strong support of the Premier, to make sure that all aspects of what government does has regard to that. So whilst I might well just have a relatively small branch of the Department of Premier and Cabinet assisting me in that.
You have a commissioner, though, don't you?
I have a commissioner who is all powerful, and
we've had her on this show as a guest already.
Yeah, there you go. And that gives me the ability, with the Premier's backing and with the on the ground leadership from the commissioner, Rowena Allen, for gender and sexuality, is to impose a conscious approach from the government about everything we do needs to have is the LGBT. Now, I concede that when it comes to agricultural chemicals and issues along those lines, there might not be a strong focus, but whether it's education...
You have to stop walking around going near the window because you keep cutting out all the time, Martin.
I'm not going anywhere.
Good, I'm glad to hear that.
Give you the glass of port. So across the board, we've had a number of achievements. Safe schools now being rolled out in every government secondary school. As you said, the Gender and Sexuality Commissioner, the same-sex adoption reforms, even though it would have been, we missed out by one vote, unfortunately, to make sure that the religious exemptions were knocked off. But all the way down to the fact that the Premier has taken a leadership role in things like the Pride March, his intervention in the ridiculous position that the New South Wales government took on Gaby Baby, the Relationship Amendments Bill, just the opportunities that come along to say just what is the support we can lend to community groups, whether it be minus 18, whether it be the support that we've shown for Vela's Cafe, a whole range of right across the lifespan of LGBTI people.
So did you sneak a reform through the Parliament this week without very much attention in terms of the same-sex...
That was last week.
Same-sex relationship.
That was last week.
Same-sex Jim, you're behind marriage. The times.
Well, whenever it was last week. It is Monday, I suppose. Yeah, so what exactly was that reform that went through last week?
Well, a combination of events. So the Relationship Bill 2015, which made its way through both houses in December and then was amended in the upper house to explicitly allow ceremonies around the relationship register in Victoria. But what we also did as part of our election commitment is establish essentially a head of power for the Commissioner for Births, Deaths and Marriages to recognise comparable jurisdictions overseas relationships.
So is this including
marriages.
Is this to get over that problem in South Australia where a British man died and his husband wasn't recognised on the death certificate?
Correct. So let's hope that doesn't repeat itself anywhere. But now the registrar here has the ability once the regulations are set. So the registrar has now the head of power to make sure that capacity to make sure that death certificates reflect the recognition of not just comparable relationships, given that, as a result of the High Court, states are precluded from recognising delivering their own marriages, but we can indeed, because of the comparative international jurisdictions, create that head of power for when it comes to things like death certificates, make sure that ignominy isn't heaped on top of suffering in the circumstances of the case in South Australia.
So just to clarify, so does that mean that Australian couples who get married overseas, they're covered under those new laws as well?
Ooh, just let me have a look at my notes.
There might be a bit of self-interest in that question, really.
No, we can go to an ad break and come back.
definitely in the case of So if an Australian is married overseas, and yes, well, that's an overseas. I'll just make one rain check. I'm pretty sure, because it would be a same sex marriage recognised overseas in New Zealand, of which there's quite a number, obviously, but anywhere, and that person should sadly pass away in Victoria, then it would be open to, yes, that's my reading of these notes from my friends at the Office of Birth, Death and Marriage, so long as that was a registered relationship or marriage in a comparable jurisdiction, yes.
Well, that's very good to hear. So we are going to go to some sponsorship messages, and then we're going to come back and ask you some even harder questions, Martin.
Rightio.
So this is...
I'm glad I've got all my notes.
It's Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. You're listening to us talking to Martin Foley, the Minister for Equality, and we will be back.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and we're chatting to the Minister for Equality, Martin Foley. Are you there, Martin?
I am, Steph.
Excellent. So we've just been talking about the new bill that was just passed last week, which recognises overseas marriages in Victoria. Very exciting. Positive step towards marriage equality, we would hope.
Yeah.
Can I ask... Well,
within the restrictions the High Court set for states, I think there's capacity for us to fill the space as creatively as we can, and I think this is a good step.
Can we ask what you think our chances are in the medium term at a national level? I know it's outside your jurisdiction, but more of a gut instinct?
Well, I suppose it all depends on the federal election.
Yes, that's
result,
true.
Really, doesn't it? If I could forecast the result of that, I'd be placing bets accordingly. But,
yeah.
If this Prime Minister... is prepared for the price of being Prime Minister to subject us to a potentially polarising and every redneck homophobe being let off the leash as some sort of legitimate commentator for the sake of a plebiscite, which now apparently a number of the government members are indicating they won't consider themselves bound by.
Mm. And I noticed the Australian Christian Lobby today said that... that they want to be exempt from the Equal Opportunities Acts around the country while the plebiscite is on. In other words, they want to do hate speech.
They already have, haven't they? Judging by all the... There was so much hatred last week around Safe Schools Coalition and Minus 18.
Yeah.
Yes, they've got a Facebook page up to block Minus 18 and the Safe Schools Coalition and the same-sex...
and gender diverse formal, yeah.
Martin, on that point, there was certainly in the not too distant past when I suppose politicians did have a little bit of a fear when it came to such organisations as the ACL. Do you feel that that's a credit to in this particular instance the Victorian community's come a long way? That's actually helped the politicians such as yourself move so, as you say, briskly on reform in this parliament. Do you feel that the community's come a long way in Victoria?
I think it has, James. In the famous words of Jim Hacker from Yes Prime Minister, "I'm my people's leader. I will follow them wherever they go." whilst it's funny, but there's also an element of truth in there. Mm. Leadership from the community and just the changing nature of, particularly amongst young people, that the notion that, what do you mean there's built-in discrimination about being somebody who's not allowed to be who they are? But, you talk to young people around the place these days and there's just this recognition that, just how wacky is some of the cultural prejudices that we've inherited from our past, which, isn't actually that long ago. But then you see things like that young man being bashed at the Secular Botanical Gardens. Then you see some of the hate speech that comes out of some groups that profess some wider value set of decency.
The Australian newspaper.
And then you see stuff that goes up in Chapel Street about putters to death, and you just think, whilst we've made progress, we still actually have a very long way to go before everybody can quite rightly and quite freely be who they are.
But politicians need to have support to do that, don't they? And the Labor Party itself has changed significantly over the last few years. So how are you supported inside the Labor Party and the caucus?
Well, lots of things, but I want to pay tribute to the leadership of Rainbow Labor in this respect, who have acted in a way that has helped change not just the policy of the Labor Party, but have operated in a... Now, this sounds strange for the Labor Party, but in a non-factional, non-winner-takes-all, inclusive way that has brought people along to the point where, frankly, it's one of the best models of operation about how you get not just policy change in the Labor Party, not just cultural change about its worthiness as a campaign tool, but from that, a tool for wider social reform. And the way it's operated, I think, speaks... speaks more broadly of the kind of creativity and dedication that so many LGBTI people, whether they're members of the Labor Party or not, bring to the urgency of social and political change in a really sophisticated way. And I'm a big fan of Rainbow Labor's, and I think they've helped change that political culture.
But Rainbow Labor is part of the Victorian branch of the Labor Party. In the other states, it's not part of the branches, is it? And that sort of shows up in the fact that there's a Minister for Equality here in a Labor government. Are your interstate colleagues showing any interest at all in what you're doing?
Well, the ACT now has a Minister for Equality.
Well, you'd expect that with Andrew Barr as the Chief Minister, wouldn't you?
You would, but, you know, that they're a close second. And we're certainly in regular contact with our South Australian and Queensland friends, and we don't give up on the notion that they will follow our suit. And, slowly catching monkey. But I think part of the reason is Victoria likes always the thought of itself as a progressive.
Yes, we do.
And I think that's true. If you look back, over 100 years, that's the case. But what's been missing from the most recent story of, the 21st century iteration of what a fair go, the great Australian cultural, goal of decency, is the way that we've totally excluded from that story LGBTI people for most of Australia's, white Australia's history. That's changed in the last generation a bit, but whilst we've made progress, there's still a very long way to go.
Well, that's pretty good, and we did hear the Premier say on Saturday Magazine, at one of our Saturday programs here recently, that that he saw himself as the leader of the most progressive government in the most progressive state, and he wanted to make sure that Melbourne didn't lose that title. So I think he's certainly stamped it out as an area of interest. So the Ministerial Advisory Committees, Martin, how are they working? Are they working on new areas or are they working on implementation?
A bit of both. So if people aren't aware, we went to the election with a commitment that we would resource a whole of government leadership planning group, which is co-chaired by Brenda Appleton and myself, and that it would be supported by a justice working group looking at legal and discrimination and other LGBTI issues that fall within that justice framework, and a health and human services group, which would look at more programmatic type things. Each of those groups is now well and truly underway. Each now has a work program, and whilst there's a swag of implementation and hard work from the legislative pace of cracking change that we've introduced, it's their job is to look over the horizon as to what's next. Now, in each of their what's next, actually, it's the accumulation of years and years and years of work that so many people have done in in each of those areas that still has to be brought to fruition, as well as, you know, obviously emerging issues that will keep happening, whether they be, you know, issues around marriage equality and plebiscites, all the way through to, well, what is the next set of issues in HIV, or what is the next set of issues in trans or intersex, or whatever it might be.
Martin, I know from the ALP's LGBTI policy committee that there is a fair bit of concern that there's not a ministerial advisory committee in education. Is there likely to be one in education and the creative industries, for instance?
Well, specifically, we went to the election with a commitment that there would be these two, but with the ability to establish, as needs be, any particular other groups. And one of the interesting and useful things that the Sexuality and Gender Commissioner, Rowena Allen, has been a part of is to kick off the Proud Public Servants Network, which has, on the back of Christmas party I went to, and marching Pride for the first time and all that kind of thing.
But we saw them there in their purple T-shirts.
That's the one. But on the back of that, as part of the whole of government plan, working plan that our group that I co-chair with Brenda has, is to look at the issues around young people and training and education and safe schools, particularly in light, I think we'll be even more focused on this in light of the pushback from certain hostile groups in this space, is what support can we now bring further to the safe schools and related support for young people programs. So we're already talking about whether there's the need for education-focused consultative arrangement.
That's really good to hear, Martin. Now, we've got time to keep you on the line for one more little session after. We're going to go to a song now and perhaps some messages. So
stay with us.
Stay with us, and we'll come back and ask you another question.
I've missed my favourite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry. Our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9 fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
Hello, you are on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Is Nothing Sacred. You're in the studio with Steph, James and Jim. And we are chatting with the Minister for Equality, Martin Foley. Hello.
Hello again.
Hello again. Yay.
Oh, good. So we worked the technology this time. That was good.
Martin, Jim, what do you mean? We're excellent radio producers.
We are.
If we keep it out of your hands, then we're all fine.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Aren't they respectful of the old person in the room?
Come on, Jim.
I'll have to come and see you about in your capacity as a Minister for Ageing. You know, I just want to ask you one question, Martin, about something that's before the Parliament, well, is about to come before the Parliament. I know it's out for consultation, and that is that the Greens MP for Paran, Sam Hibbins, has a bill which is out for consultation, which I note when I read it has just lifted a bit of Labor Party policy that hadn't yet been enacted, and drafted a bill to amend the EO Act to remove the loopholes that allow religious exemptions in the Act. Is the government going to support the Greens bill or absorb it into reforms to restore the EO Act to what it was before the Liberal Attorney General Robert Clark messed it up and reduced its scope?
So I'd love to give you the scoop, Jim, and Is Nothing Sacred.
But well, go on, give us the scoop.
Scoop.
Cabinet processes being what they are, the Attorney General has oversight of this bill, and that's, you've summed up precisely what our election platform position is, and we've certainly demonstrated form in this regard with the bill that was enacted around adoption equality, where we put in place a bill that was amended in the Legislative Council.
It almost passed, didn't it?
Was knocked off by one vote.
Who voted against it in the Legislative Council?
On the crossbench.
On a crossbench. So
the DLP and
Shooters, the DLP and the Jobs First fellow were the three that banded together with the Liberals to knock it off.
It's a shame.
The Attorney General is going through a process of reviewing the Equal Opportunity Act more widely.
Well, you tell him from us that we want him to be tough about this.
Yeah, no more exemptions.
They're not exemptions, they're loopholes.
This was clear that when in 2011 the legislation was changed by the then government, we made it clear that we would be seeking to bring this back, and we certainly will. And that's part of the wider processes that will be incorporated in how we seek to modernise the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Act in a range of different ways. And the Attorney General is well progressed down that path. He's consulting with the Justice LGBTI group on all of that.
They won't let him get away with anything. Knowing some of the people on there.
Indeed. Chaired jointly by Harriet Singh, the Upper House member, the first outwardly lesbian member of the Victorian Legislative Council, and Anna Brown, the superstar from the Human Rights Law Centre.
And we do note that, you know, Tasmania got rid of the loophole some time ago and under the previous Giddings government. And, you know, the sky didn't fall in. Tasmania hasn't sunk into the sea yet.
No. It's sunk into lots of things, but not the sea.
Martin, do you have any examples of where there are organisations that are, I was going to say covered under the loophole, that's a bit of an oxymoron, who are currently exempt, who have spoken to you about this, where you've heard positive stories about inclusion or people wanting to be inclusive regardless of the law anyway, or sort of any evidence that we might not need the loopholes?
I don't think it's a secret that when you looked at, for instance, the Adoption Equality Act that was put through for adoption, a number of the faith-based agencies welcomed that move and have welcomed the move more generally. The Uniting Church and the Anglican Church, for instance, have made it clear that as faith-based organisations that look at, in their view, what the Christian message means in 2016, that they see that as totally compatible with a view that does not provide such exemptions. Other faith-based organisations take a different view. I'm also aware of various other not-for-profit and non-government organisations that operate in sort of faith and values-based areas that take a similar view. So people and Victorians should not for a minute think that there's some monolithic opposition from all faith-based organisations to this kind of provision. There's not, because many quite rightly see in the 21st century that if you're going to engage, you know, in the changing nature of values conversations, you've got to widen out that message of who you're engaging with and remove from that discrimination.
And we've had guests on this show from Uniting Care who do really great work with young LGBTI people up in Shepparton and other parts of regional Victoria.
Absolutely. Yeah. Damien and his crew up there are absolute exemplars of not just community-based action, but, you know, what with the support of faith-based organisations you can achieve in some pretty hostile territory. Mm.
So, well, we can only wish you luck and also encourage you to move back that restoration of the Equal Opportunities Act, and also make sure that the Human Rights Charter is not meddled with anymore, and only to strengthen the human rights part of it.
Well, exactly. Some people would call that meddling, Jim. But
you can meddle with it in that case.
Yeah, but the Attorney General has commissioned the former head of the, I think it's the Law Institute, to review the charter, which falls due now, and it's legislative review anyway. So I'd like to think there's a significant more we can do to to deliver on the Premier's commitment that he wants to be the head of the most progressive government in the most progressive state. And all the issues that we've spoken about tonight neatly fit into that category.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and we've been talking to Martin Foley, the Minister for Equality in the Andrews Labor Government in Victoria. Thank you, Martin, for staying on the line and talking to us.
My pleasure.
It's been a great discussion so far, and we're going to delve into a few more areas.
We are. We want to ask you about, in your capacity as Minister for Housing, the I noticed that the federal leader of the opposition, Bill Shorten, announced changes to Labor's policy on negative gearing of real estate in an effort to improve the supply of housing and get a different mix in the housing investment between public and private and first home owners and so on. Is the Victorian government looking at that area and ways of supporting that in the public housing area?
Well, the whole process when it comes to public and social housing, which involves both the community housing sector and public housing, fully on top of what either Bill Shorten or apparently today the Prime Minister might have said in terms of its implications for how they then support public or social housing. Other than since the GFC package that Kevin Rudd delivered as part of the stimulus, which was the last big investment from the Commonwealth in public and social housing capital, what we've seen across the nation is an absolute drying up of federal government support for investment in public and social housing, to the point where in the period from 2010 to 2014, $470 million at a state and Commonwealth level was ripped out of housing and homeless programs in Victoria alone.
What's been the impact of that?
Well, the impact of that has been that those people most in housing crisis, the people who want to get into some form of social public housing, who are most in need, the so-called segment one people of the housing waiting list, has grown faster than it has ever grown.
Does that mean that women who are vulnerable and in women's shelters and people who are vulnerable and living in crisis homeless accommodation or shelters are further disadvantaged? Because they're all in segment one, aren't they?
That's precisely what it means, Jim. The three fastest growing categories that have contributed to that, this is a group that has gone from 4,000 on the waiting list to about nearly 10,000, and the blowout at any one time, and the blowout in waiting times has gone from, given that they're the priority, it's gone from about 3 to 4 months to 11 months in that period of time. It's now starting to come down, but very slowly, as we've put $118 million back into the system in our first budget, and we hope to do more. So what that has meant is it's been the fastest growing segment has been women and children fleeing family violence, that's partly why we've asked the Family Violence Royal Commission to recommend back to government next month. They'll come down with their report as to just the whole series of interrelated policy areas that need to deal with that. So whilst you called me the Minister for Housing, the actual portfolio title for that one is Housing, Disability and Ageing, because unless we integrate those services of housing and the community wraparound support that goes with it, we're not really doing the job that we should be.
Does that mean that you're the Victorian Minister in charge of the NDIS?
It does. That's probably the biggest single social policy change that we've seen since the introduction of Medicare, particularly at the federal government level, and There's been all sorts of issues associated with that that the federal government needs to step up to the mark on. But what they have not been able to do, unlike that, in housing and mental health, public health, is they've not been able to cut that program anywhere near the same extent that they have because of the fantastic campaign that people with a disability and their organisations have run for so long to take it above the kind of, if you like, the argy-bargy of traditional politics. So it will be, there's still some very significant public policy issues there. But whether it's disability support, family violence, alcohol and drugs, if you're caught up in one of those lenses of vulnerability, you're generally caught up in more than one. And the role that housing plays in securing you and your family in your community, which you can then get the services that you need to stabilise you as a engaged civic participant, is really what I see the challenges of that broader portfolio that I bring to government. So housing is a anchor in that, but housing on its own, as important as it is, doesn't solve the family violence issue or the alcohol drug issue or the mental health issue or enable you as a person with disabilities to properly participate. It's critical, but it's not of itself the overall solution.
And aren't you lucky that you have some of those other portfolios in your bag of tricks as well?
Absolutely.
So, well, all I can say is good luck.
And, I've got good help.
I'm glad to hear that, because it's a really difficult area. And in a past life, I had policy responsibility in New South Wales for people with challenging behaviours, which is a euphemism for naughty people. And what we did with dealing with those people was actually had to be a whole of government approach. Otherwise, it just didn't work. And I assume that the same sort of thing is going to happen here.
That's the plan. So it's incredibly challenging, and made more challenging by, to be blunt, the drying up of resources and support from the Commonwealth, and the sort of ripping up of the post-war compact, if you like, as to what has been the role of the federal government in supporting states and jurisdictions to try to deliver those on-the-ground services. And as those cuts get deeper and deeper, how states respond in that really needs a fundamental rethink. And how we do that is challenging.
Martin, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to spend with us tonight. I mean, an hour at this hour of the night is
a big commitment.
A big commitment, and thank you very much. And I'm sure our listeners will have enjoyed this. And we podcast this program, and so a podcast of this will go up, which we'll let your staff know so that they can use as they might in future. So thank you very much for the time that you've taken and for the very open discussion that you've been prepared to have with us. And good luck with the rest of your portfolio. We look forward to hearing more about it in future.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Steph.
Thank you.
James.
Thank you very much.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution.
Here's the solution.
Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
Hi there, Joysters. You have been listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. We've been talking tonight to the Minister for Equality, Martin Foley, the Member for Albert Park in the Andrews Labor Government. He is Australia's first Minister for Equality, and we used to be able to say first and only Minister, but apparently the openly gay ACT Chief Minister, Andrew Barr, has appointed a Minister for Equality there as well. And we want to thank Martin for his openness in the discussion tonight. It was very broad and wide-ranging, and we asked him lots of questions about what's happening now with the equality agenda and how it's working and how he's supported through the ministerial advisory committees and so on. And he was very, very happy to answer our questions. And thank you, Steph.
Thanks,
thank
Jim.
You, James. For
thank you. It was a great show. Good to have an ally in cabinet.
It's a very good thing to have an ally in cabinet, and we should seek out a few more of them and ask them on the show, I think.
Great plan. So thank you very much to Martin. We have an interesting show coming up next week. We won't tell you what it is yet, but stand by, and a big issue in the LGBTI community. Good night.
All.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.